33 Days to Eucharistic Glory by Matthew Kelly. Day 31, The Way of Virtue. This is the will of God, that you be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 800 years ago, a young Italian man searching for meaning in his life went into a dilapidated old church and heard the voice of God speak to him. Rebuild my church. As you can see, it is in ruins. If you and I listen carefully, I believe we will hear the same voice saying the same thing today. The young man was Francis of Assisi. His first reaction was to repair and build a number of churches in and around Assisi. But the voice kept calling to him, "Francis, rebuild my church. As you can see, it is in ruins." Over the past 50 years, we have spent a lot of time, energy, and money building and restoring the physical facilities of our churches. But the voice of God continues to call us once again. God is saying, "Rebuild my church," and the rebuilding that needs to be done now is of a spiritual nature. The only way for our lives to genuinely improve is by acquiring virtue. Similarly, it is impossible for a society to genuinely improve unless its members grow in virtue. The renewal of the church in society so desperately needs is a renewal of virtue. And it is our relationship with Jesus that gives us the strength, the grace, and the wisdom to grow in virtue. What is virtue? It is a habitual and firm disposition to do good. The great fallacy of the lukewarm moral life is to believe that our sole responsibility is to eliminate vice from our lives. In the absence of a sincere and focused effort to grow in virtue and an openness to God's will for our lives, vice will creep into our lives in the form of 100 different self-centered and self-destructive habits. No man or woman is born virtuous. Good habits are not infused. Virtue must be sought out and can be acquired only by continual practice. You learn to ride a bicycle by riding a bicycle. You learn to play baseball by playing baseball. You learn to be patient by practicing patience. You become virtuous by practicing virtue. For thousands of years, politicians, philosophers, and priests have all argued that the best way to organize society, many organizing concepts, including duty, obligation, law, force, obedience, tyranny, and greed, have been employed throughout history by various societies and organizations. But what is the ultimate organizing principle? It is virtue. Two virtuous people will always have a better relationship than two people without virtue. Two patient people will always have a better relationship than two impatient people. Two kind and generous people will always have a better relationship than two selfish people. Two humble people will always have a better relationship than two proud people. Not sometimes, but every single time. And the world is just an extension of your relationship with me and my relationship with you. If we are both striving to live virtuous lives, our relationship will prosper. But when we give up our striving for virtue, our relationship will disintegrate. Virtue leads to better people, better living, better relationships, and a better world. If humanity is to flourish in the 21st century, it will be because we realize once and for all that the key of organizing concept of a truly great civilization is virtue. The connection between virtue and the flourishing of an individual is unquestionable. To live a life of virtue is to move beyond the restlessness and chaos that agonize the human heart and embrace a life of order and coherence. The church has always proclaimed that the 7 foundational virtues are the cornerstone of the moral life. The foundation is made up of the supernatural virtues, faith, hope, and love, and the 4 cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. The supernatural virtues free us from self-centeredness, protect us from the ultimate vice, pride, and dispose us to live in relationship with God. The cardinal virtues, which are sometimes referred to as the human virtues, allow us to acquire the self-mastery necessary to make us free and capable of love. They do this by ordering our passions and guiding our conduct in accordance with faith and reason. The only way for our lives to genuinely improve is by acquiring virtue. To grow in virtue is to improve as a human being, to become a better person today than I was yesterday. This is accomplishment. Ernest Hemingway observed, "There is nothing noble in being superior to your fellow man. True nobility is being superior to your former self." Virtue is central to the growth of a Christian. Earlier in our journey together, day 8, we discussed how people tend to emulate the 5 people they spend most of the time with. Are your 5 people virtuous people? If not, you need to make a change. And you may be thinking, I can't make a change. My 5 people are set and they are not virtuous. But let's think back to something else we have learned on this pilgrimage together. Don't let what you can't do interfere with what you can do. Day 21. The devil wants you to focus on what's not possible. Jesus helps us to focus on what is possible and find new possibilities. Maybe the people around you have no interest in virtue, but I look across my bookshelf and I see plenty of virtuous people you can spend time with. Mother Teresa, Fulton Sheen, C.S. Lewis, Teresa of Avila, Teresa of Lisieux, Augustine, Aquinas, Chesterton, Tolkien, Kreeft, Dorothy Day, the list is endless. Virtues are the habits of the saints. And then, of course, there is Jesus in the Eucharist. Jesus is virtue personified. He is honest, patient, kind, humble, courageous, compassionate, hopeful, wise, generous, gentle, resilient, loving. And whenever we act virtuously, we, in some mysterious and amazing way, usher God's grace and goodness into the world. Virtue became man so that man could become virtue. The Eucharist is, as St. Peter Imond observed, a divine storehouse filled with every virtue. God has placed it in the world so that everyone may draw from it. So draw from it. Spend time with Jesus in the Eucharist and draw from the storehouse abundantly and often. Trust, surrender, believe, receive. Lesson. To live a life of virtue is to move beyond the restlessness and chaos that agonize the human heart and embrace a life of order and coherence. There is a clear connection between a life of virtue and human flourishing. Virtue leads to better people, better living, better relationships, and a better world. The Eucharist is a divine storehouse filled with every virtue. The more time we spend with Jesus in the Eucharist, the more abundantly we can draw virtue from the storehouse. Virtue of the day, generosity. The virtue of generosity mirrors the abundance of God's generosity. Give something away every day. It need not be a material possession or money. Give a compliment, a smile, advice, encouragement. Express your appreciation. Catch someone doing something right. Give everywhere you go to everyone you meet. Live a life of staggering generosity. Spiritual communion. Jesus, I believe that you are truly present in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. Every day I long for more of you. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot receive you sacramentally at this moment, I invite you to come and dwell in my heart. May the spiritual communion increase my desire for the Eucharist. You are the healer of my soul. Take the blindness from my eyes, the deafness from my ears, the darkness from my mind, and the hardness from my heart. Fill me with the grace, wisdom, and courage to do your will in all things. My Lord and my God, draw me close to you, nearer than ever before. Amen. Christ our King, Mary, Queen of the Eucharist, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.